honor to bring Brother Robbie up. He's, as I mentioned earlier, he was in town, had to do a memorial service in Toronto, and he left there and came back here, and it's been, we've been praying for him, and it's been really neat to be involved in his journey with over the last couple years of his adoption with his little girl, and they finally got their little, and I'm not going to take much away from what he's going to say, but it's a great honor to have him here, and he's just going to share a couple things with you. And thank the church for praying for him, and he's a great friend that I love dearly, and it's good to have you here tonight, man, and we'll look forward to hearing from what you have.
Good evening. Wow. That's that loud Texas voice for you. I forgot how far everybody looks when they're sitting at the back, so it's great to see new people that I've not met before. It's also great to see old friends, old in terms of I've known you longer, not necessarily that you're old, okay? So I don't want to offend. I knew I was going to be in town this week, and I asked Brother Tracy if he wouldn't mind allowing me a moment just to talk to the church, to just express my family's gratitude to you for your love. And so I'd like to just tell you a story, and if you'll stay with me, some parts of it at the beginning may seem a little strange that I would share it with you, but by the end, I want you to see how God has woven all of this together. So on March 17th, 2012, in New Hanyun Economical Zone of Tianjin City in China, a three-month-old little girl was abandoned. The newspaper article that you see on the screen that's circled in or has a red box around it tells everything that is known about this little girl's life up until that point. And so here's the translation of the article. It says, an abandoned female baby, name unknown, was found. And there was nothing left with her. So at that moment, she was taken into the care of the state, which is the Chinese government, and was given the name Ai Jing Fu, which they named them based upon the region and different things. And so that was her name. That was March 17th of 2012. 6 days later, 7,065 miles away, on March 23rd, 2012, I arrived in Detroit, Michigan for the first time at the invitation of your pastor, Brother Tracy, to preach at your couples retreat and a revival meeting that following week. And since that time, Brother Tracy has been a great friend and an encouragement to me in the ministry, and I first want to give thanks to the Lord for that. And then through this meeting, we also met some other amazing friends at the church, and Stephen and Melissa and Brian and Amanda have actually made a trip down to Texas to visit with us, and so it's been really great to see that and to hear and see so many of you as well. You guys have been such amazing friends, and we're so grateful to all of you, and we're so grateful that the Lord brought us together back in 2012. At the conclusion of that week in Michigan, my first week there in 2012, this church overwhelmed us with an incredibly generous, and might I say, considering the quality of the preaching, probably too generous, a love offering as a way just to bless our family for coming here and being a part of your revival meeting. And so we put some of that money aside into our savings. And I was invited back to preach a few more times here at the church, and each time the church just was so gracious and generous to us and gave us love offerings. And each time we put some of that money aside in savings, just kind of a habit of our family to put some money aside. And so I've shared that with you to tell you this, that a few years ago, God began to open my heart about something that I never imagined for my life, and that is adoption. We have three biological children. We have three boys, Luke, Noah, and Adam. But in November of 2014, I told the Lord that if He would provide a way, then we would open our hearts and our home and our family to adopt one of the 153 million orphans that are in the world today. And before I go on, I'll tell you what happened. My wife was already wanting to adopt, and I was late getting on the train. I call my wife the Holy Spirit because she always arrives at God's will first, and then it takes me a little while to kind of catch up. Anybody else have that? Is it, okay, she's apparently more in tune to the Lord than I am, but she just kept saying, you know, I really feel like this is what God wants to do, and I committed it to prayer. And one night I was walking on my boys upstairs in our house to go lay down and read books and pray and do what we do in the night. And we had a room in our house that was empty, And it had a bed in it that was a hand-me-down bed for my parents and a little nightstand. And that night, I felt the Lord impress upon my heart, and I told the Lord, if you can provide this bed, I know that there are kids everywhere around this world that would give anything to sleep in that bed every night and to have a family that will love them. And that was the night that I opened my heart to that. And I made the decision that night in November of 2014 that we would go on with adoption. 2 years later, that was November of 2013, excuse me. 2 years later, on September 15th of 2015, this happened. Now, before I show this to you, I want you to know no one has ever seen this. Not even my family has seen the video that you're about to see. So if you'll hit that, Justin, I think it... Oh, wait. Pause it. Pause it, Justin. And you'll have to hook that back in, that sound thing in the back. Stephen said he would do that, but he said, I probably will forget. So I'm going to throw Stephen under the bus. Because you got to hear the sound.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hugga, hugga, hugga. Yeah.
Hugga. That's my youngest son,
nice.
Adam.
Nice, nice. Yeah, no, I. Come on. Adam, hold, 牵着哥哥的手. Yeah. Adam, hold her. Hold her hands. Come on. Hold her hands. This is Papa Mama. Papa Mama. Mama, now, Mama. Oh, Mama, Mama. Oh, nice.
I don't know if you could see, I know you couldn't hear it, but that was the first time that she ever called me Baba, which is the Chinese word for dad. And I'm telling you, man. I was really overwhelmed that God had given us this girl. And this little girl has her daddy, you can tell, completely wrapped around her finger. Ellie has spina bifida, which is a condition where the bones in some parts of your spinal column don't fuse together and it causes gaps or openings in your spinal column. So in September of this year, we took Ellie to a neurologist and a neurosurgeon, and it was determined that she had a tethered cord, which is where your spinal cord comes out of that hole, and it had fused with tissue and nerves, and it's a very dangerous condition, and it could lead to other health issues down the road, like loss of motor function and things like that. And so the decision was made to have surgery, so the surgery was scheduled, and we received this is Ellie actually on the day of her surgery. And we received so many phone calls, texts, and Facebook posts, and messages, and tweets from people, including many of our friends here at Emmanuel, telling us that you were praying for our daughter. And I cannot tell you how much those prayers really helped us. Her first surgery was a success. They untethered the spinal cord, and everything looked good. But then Ellie developed an infection. They thought that she was leaking spinal fluid, and so we had to go back in about 6 days later for a second emergency surgery. And so Ellie was really, really sick. And it was very, very serious because if there was leaking spinal fluid, it could lead to other issues. And so we were worried about them going back in on the second surgery. And so we just, you know, asked people to pray, which they did. And by the grace of God, and I know as a direct answer to everyone's prayers, there was no spinal fluid leaking. And the infection that she had gotten is completely gone. And so this is Ellie on the day. We were in the hospital for about 15 days. This is the day she was going home. So that's the happy face there. So after about 3 weeks total in the hospital, we brought Ellie home. And when we arrived home, there were a few gifts waiting on our doorstep. And one of those was an Anna princess outfit from the movie Frozen. And so this is Ellie, and that was sent to us by the Clark family. And then there was another tube, and it had a big, huge pink poster inside of it. And it, when we pulled it out, it was signed by all the kids in the various classes from here at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And you guys had mailed that to us, and it meant so much to Ellie. She, don't trust me on this, she loved the attention. She actually probably didn't want to leave the hospital because everybody waited on her hand and foot. And whatever she said, she got, you know. But it meant so much to her to receive those gifts, but it also meant so much to us. And so I want to thank you, Emmanuel, for loving our family so well. Back in March of 2012 at your revival meeting, I watched something different because in our church growing up, we always passed the offering plates. And so I came to Emmanuel, and you guys do your offering up front. And so Brother Tracy announced that he was going to collect a special offering for the evangelist that week, which was me. And so I was standing there, and I was watching as just people came forward that evening to give an offering to bless our family. And I was so humbled and so grateful for the gift, and still am. And at the time that many of you were giving that gift, there was a little girl in China whose life was being completely turned upside down. Just 6 days prior to my first encounter with Emmanuel, she had been abandoned. And she grew up not knowing a dad, not knowing a Baba, not knowing what a father was. And I had no idea when I was preaching the revival at Emmanuel that I would one day be her dad. Adoption at that point wasn't even on my radar. But here's what I wanted to share with you and what I'd like to just leave with you tonight in this word of thanks. Before I left the United States to go to China, I went to my bank and I withdrew money from my savings account. Part of that savings was money that you had given me and my family when we were here at Emmanuel 3 years earlier. And with that money, I went to China, and God, through your generosity, allowed our family to live out the gospel in the life of one little girl. Philippians chapter 4, Paul was writing to the Philippians, and he said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my need or my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." In other words, these churches gave to Paul on his missionary journeys, and they blessed him. And he said, "It's not that I want the gift, it's that I want fruit to abound to your account." And I want you to know that your gift has saved a little girl's life. And I'm not trying to say that with hyperbole, and I'm not trying to overemphasize or make it more dramatic. Your giving to our family the way that you did enabled us to be able to go to China and get this sweet little girl and bring her into our family. Her name is Ai Jing Fu in Chinese. One of the joys of adoption is we get to give her a new name. And so her name is Eliana Joy Jing Pollard. We kept Jing. And we had decided that before we went to China. And we didn't know this, but as God works often in the orphanage, she was known as Jing Jing. And so that was the name of her Chinese names that we wanted to keep. So Eliana Joy Jing Pollard. Eliana means God has answered. So we believe that God has answered and brought us tremendous joy. And as a dad, you know, one of my primary responsibilities is to raise my children to know and to follow Jesus with their lives. I try to do that with my boys, and now I'm doing that in the life of this sweet little girl. And I know with all my heart that one day Ellie is going to know Jesus. She's going to come to believe in Jesus. And having spent 2 weeks in China, I do know this, that had we not gone and adopted this girl, it is very highly likely that she would have never even heard of the name Jesus. Now when she's in our car, she sings worship songs with us. She learns memory verses. One day she's going to come to know Jesus, and I want you to know, Emmanuel, that that will be fruit to your account because of your generosity. So I'll share with you just one final thing, a kind of a Michigan story that's cool in our family. So on our, I think our second trip to Michigan, Stephen and Melissa took us to Bronner's. You know, Bronner's is amazing, you know. And we had never been, and obviously, and so we went up to Frankenmuth, and we went to Bronner's. And that first year, Leslie found an ornament with five snowmen on it, you know, Robbie, Leslie, Luke, Noah, and Adam. So when we got Ellie last year in September, I got big points with this, by the way, for my wife. I went online to Bronner's, and I ordered a new ornament. And that new ornament now has six people on it, because one of those is Eliana Joy Jing. She's the snow girl to the right there, the snow woman, if that's the correct way to say it. And when I look at that ornament every year, and I will again in a few weeks when we put up our tree, it makes me realize that our family is complete, that this was God's will for our family. At the end of the Apollo 13 movie, if you've seen it, there's a quote from Jim Lovell, who was the commander of the spacecraft, and he said this, I quote, "I sometimes catch myself looking up at the moon, remembering the changes of fortune in our long voyage, thinking of the thousands of people who worked to bring the three of us home." And I will tell you in all sincerity, in all honesty, that so many times when I'm holding my daughter at night and we're praying or we're reading books together, I think of you and I think of all the people that gave to our family to bring this little girl home. And so I just want to say to all of you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. And I know that we talk a lot in church about, or not a lot, but sometimes we talk about giving, and we don't always see the fruit of our gifts. And so knowing that we were coming up here, I wanted to just share with you, and hopefully by this word of testimony, it's a blessing to you to know that your giving has been multiplied and will make a difference in the life of this girl and in our family, hopefully for generations to come. I do want to just ask you all to pray for Ellie. We did get some more results from some tests this week for really kind of what side issues of the surgery. And the results were not great, but we know with all of our hearts that God is greater. And so I would ask you to just pray. We do have some more things that we have to get done. But again, I want to thank all of you for your kindness and your love and for your friendship and for your generosity in our family. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to just share with you tonight. God bless you all.
I was telling Brother Robbie just this evening that I feel like I know Ellie because we FaceTimed with her one time. And she's a riot and just absolutely hilarious, cute as can be. And it was like, nah, I'm like, we want to see her now. But we haven't worked that out yet. We almost met him in Chicago at one point. They were going to be flying through when he came back from China, right? You were flying through Chicago and we talked about driving there to meet him, but that didn't work out. I didn't see the whole thing, but thank you for sharing that with him. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 18, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And we're going to begin with verse 1. So when you find your place, if you would stand with me as we read God's word. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1. It's the second time I got to preach today, so I'm probably going to be winded. I'll be done early, probably, but it's 7:55 already, so I'm not promising I'll be done before 8:30, but I should be. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Tonight I'm going to be speaking on clay in the potter's hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.
Thank you for this passage in Jeremiah that we've probably all been familiar with, Lord, but I pray that as we study this night, we might see something that would help us in our walk with you, help us to understand maybe the different things we go through, the trials, the different variations that our lives go through, Lord. I just pray that you help us to understand that better. Speak to us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So when I was growing up, I think I've told this story in here before, but I don't know how many of you were here for that. But when I was growing up, my sister had, well, what happened was we lived off of 12 Mile Road. We lived on a block off of 12 Mile Road, and my friends lived on 12 Mile Road in the house that my parents used to own. And so we would, they were doing construction. 12 Mile Road in Royal Oak, there is four lanes, and they were ripping it up and redoing it. And I remember when they would close two lanes and keep two lanes open while they're doing the other side. And I remember they had these big mounds of dirt. And they seemed really big. They were probably, you know, like 3 feet tall, but I think they were about 6 or 7 feet tall mounds of dirt. And me and my friend, we just got in there and started playing in the dirt. We weren't that young, but we would go play in dirt. So we'd get in these mounds, and we started finding these clumps. And in those clumps, we were like, man, what are these clumps of hard dirt? Well, we found out, and you probably already guessed it was clay. Well, my sister came out there, and she found these pieces of clay. And I don't remember the whole story of how it happened, but she started taking those pieces of clay, and she would take them in a bucket, and she'd wash them off and get all the dirt off of it, and she would take that clay, and she started making things with it. She's very talented and very gifted. She's artistic. And so she started just making little things. Well, as she kept doing it, she started making more and more things. I called my mom and I said, would you bring one of these? And this is something my sister made from clay back when we were kids. You can't see it, so I'll put it up there, I think. There we go. Go back, Justin. Will you do it for me? Sorry. I'll just tell you when to go to the next one. So this is, I took a picture of it. This is a rose bush, I guess, a cluster of roses that my sister made out of clay. And she started taking this clay and she started making these things. And so if you look at it, you can look at this after church, you're not allowed to touch it because it's not fired, I guess my mom said. It's never been in a furnace to be fired. So you can't touch it, but if you'd like to see it, it's really, really intricate how she's made these roses, made these flowers. And there's leaves. I don't know if you can see the leaves down in the bottom there. And then she made them, and then they would harden, and then she painted them. And she would paint the flowers red, and the leaves are green, and at the base it's like a grayish color. And she started, I remember she started making a flower, and then she kept making bigger things. And so she ended up making these, and I believe, let me see here. She won first place in a sculpture competition for Michigan Association of Christian Schools. What was interesting is she didn't just take that clay and make it one time and everything worked out. I remember she would start working with the clay, and she would, as she got into it, she would find a bad spot, she'd find a hard spot, she'd find dirt in there, and so she would clean the clay and she would start over. Well, that's exactly the picture we have in Jeremiah chapter 18. So God tells Jeremiah, he tells him, he says, I want you to go down to this place. And he says, the word Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. So in our text, the Lord comes to Jeremiah and says, I've got a place for you to go, and I've got something. I want to teach you something, but you need to go there, and I want you to go to this specific place. He didn't say go down to just a store or a restaurant. He said, I want you to go to the potter's house. Now, down in Texas, everything's bigger in Texas. Robbie tried, I had him play my guitar tonight with the teens because Micah's not here. I said, hey, will you come play a song? And so he did, and he put my guitar, and I was like up here on him. And he goes, who's this for T-Rex? Is that who plays this thing? And so we had to make it bigger because everything's bigger in Texas. So in Texas, there is a place called the potter's house. Is that right? It's a church. Bishop T.D. Jakes is the pastor there, called the Potter's House. Now, that's not what this is talking about. He didn't say go down to Texas to the Potter's House. But the Potter's House, he said, go to the Potter's House. I've got something there for you. Now, you're all here on a Wednesday night, and that's great. I wish everybody would come back from Sunday morning, come back Sunday night, and come back on Wednesday. But they don't. But you're here tonight, and you're here. And I'm going to take some liberty here and say you are in the potter's house. Because as we read in verse 6, who's the potter? The Lord is the potter. And this is the Lord's house. Not this building. This is a building that was set aside for worship. But we as members of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church are the church. And we've met together. And so wherever we meet, this is the potter's house. And so he tells them, I want you to go down to the potter's house. So the place is the potter's house. The place was the potter's house. The word was delivered in the potter's house. And listen, if many of us had been Jeremiah, I think a lot of us would have missed out on this because we would have said, you want me to go to the potter's house? You legalist. You think I should go to church? Now listen, there are people who have church services at different times, and sometimes they don't have it on a Wednesday and they have it on a Tuesday. Here's the point. We need each other. We need to be in the potter's house. We need to hear the message. We need to worship the Lord. We need to sing together. We need the fellowship. We need to go to the potter's house. But sometimes we just go, I don't want to go to the potter's house. I don't need it. Whatever that message is that you have for me, Lord, I don't need it. You ever miss a service and you found it like six people joined? Well, that happened Sunday. I got to preach in the church that my great-grandfather pastored back in the 40s, and so I got to preach there Sunday, and we missed. I think we had three people join Sunday. Is that right? I think three people are. And this Sunday, there's going to be, I believe, five people being baptized this Sunday. That's awesome. Don't you hate when something great happens and you miss it? You're like, man, I wasn't there for that. Come to the potter's house. You're like, well, you're preaching to the choir. We're here. It's Wednesday. I know. Come to the potter's house to hear the message that the Lord has for us. The potter's house is often where the Lord does work in our lives. But I believe that God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house because Jeremiah needed to see something specific so God could teach him something. Now, what's interesting is that Jeremiah is a prophet, so God's about to give him a sermon. Okay, he's about to give him something. I want you to share this with people. Don't you wish that the guy would just go, here's your sermon, and like, let me show you something, and then there's your sermon. I'm going to give you the words, everything you got to say. That would be great. And God doesn't do that with us, but He shows Jeremiah here something, and he says, I want to show you something, and this is going to be the message. This is going to be the message I want to give you. What stops us from hearing the Word of God? Sometimes I think it's just our laziness. The place is the potter's house. Number two, the power is in the potter's hands. The Hebrew word for hand in verse number 3, let's read this, says, and I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. The Hebrew word for hand is also translated power in other places of Scripture. Now, that same word, that same Hebrew word, is not always translated hand. Sometimes it's translated power. Now here, I believe he's speaking about the potter's literal hands, but we should also understand that there's power in hands. And there was power in the hands of that potter to make that vessel what he wanted to make it. And there's power in the hands of our God to make us what he wants to make us. But in verse 4, we see that the vessel was marred. The vessel was something that it was, and that means it was messed up. That's my translation. It was messed up. And so he's making this vessel, and the clay gets messed up. Now, why did the clay get messed up? Well, maybe the potter made a mistake. Maybe there was some impurities. Maybe there's a hard spot in the clay. But as we make that application of the clay in our lives and the Lord being the potter, we know it's not the potter messing up. But sometimes we get impurities, and we get hard spots in our lives, and we become messed up. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, it says, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Into thy hand means into thy power. He says he's delivered them into thy power. Romans 9:21 said, hath not the potter power over the clay? The potter always uses his hands. And that's his power over the clay. He said, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. And so his hand was a symbol of his power. The vessel was marred in the hands of the potter, And if you've ever, when he says in verse number 3 that he went to the potter's house and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. If you've ever seen a potter, and there's that, the background's kind of a picture of it, but it's I blurred it out so it would make a good background. But they would have wheels, and that they would spin that wheel, and on that wheel, the potter would begin to shape the clay. And he didn't have to work his hands all around because that clay would come around in his hands, and so he would move his fingers and he would move his hand, and he would begin to shape that pot, that clay into something that was useful. And so his hand, it's what happens is, and you've seen this before, as it's spinning, he begins to work, and then all of a sudden something gets messed up and it begins to fly around and make a mess. And that's what happens when there's a problem with the potter. So it begins to spin out of control, and then the clay, the vessel he's making, is ruined. And sometimes that's what our life feels like. Our life feels like, man, things just spun out of control and things got messy. And I got messed up. And so sometimes we feel like life is marred. We feel like life is crumbling. But as God is molding us, we can allow impurities to get in and mess up our lives. You say, well, I don't understand why I've had to go through this. I don't understand why I had to deal with this. I don't know why God allowed this. And sometimes it's simply because we allowed things into our life. So the power was in the potter's hands. Number 3, the plan was in the potter's heart. In verse number 4, he says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. The potter did not work on an assembly line. His creations were a reflection of the man himself, his heart, his passion, and his love. It was a work from his heart, not his head. In my hand, I've got Play-Doh. I used this illustration with kids at school recently, and so when Pastor asked me to preach tonight, I was like, they're getting the Play-Doh message. So I told my wife, they're getting the Play-Doh message. If I were to ask Andrew what he wants for breakfast on Saturday, you know what he's going to say? Pancake. So guess what I'm going to make for you? Because Andrew, in his heart, in his desires, it would be a pancake. And so I would take Play-Doh and I would make this incredible sculpture, just like my sister's flowers, but it's a pancake. And I would begin to press it, and I would say, man, this is going to be great. You're going to love this pancake. It's going to be looking so good. And it's Play-Doh, so you can actually eat it. So that's the bonus to this message right here. And so I begin to flatten this out to make a pancake, and then I run into a problem, and that is that there's something in here, and there's a marble in my Play-Doh. So that messed it up. So now I got to start over. And so I take that Play-Doh, and I start over, and I begin to make that pancake again. And so now it's going to be really good, and you're going to be really impressed with my pancake. And I begin to make this pancake, and I guess what I found? There's another marble in my pancake. So I got to take that one out. Oh, there's another one there. And so I've got to get these things out because I can never make a good pancake with marbles in it. Chocolate chips, yes, but not marbles. And so then I take the clay. And you know what? In the hand of the potter, the clay is just formed into whatever the potter wants to make it. And I think that our lives, and the picture that he gives us in verse number 6 is that, you know what, I'll just do with you what the potter does with the clay. And I'll begin to mold you and make you, and there's another marble, so I'll take that marble out and I will begin to make something again. You know, I'm never taking this Play-Doh and just saying, you know, forget this Play-Doh, I'm throwing it out. This is worthless, I don't need this Play-Doh. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to instead say this Play-Doh is valuable to me because I actually had to pay for this. And it's valuable to me, so I'm going to continue to get these marbles out until I can make a nice pancake. I wish I could make you something nicer than a pancake. I can make you a ball and a pancake. So I'm going to make you a pancake. And so I begin to form and make this again, and then there's another lump in there, and it's another marble. And you might say, well, why are there so many marbles? Did you mean to put that many marbles in you? Because that's what my life is like. That's what my life is like. It's like every time I think that things are, you know, all right, Lord, you're purifying me, you're making me better, and he says, okay, I'm going to remake this vessel. And he begins to take, and that's not comfortable, it's not fun, but the Lord's doing something in my life. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6, he says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O Israel. The plan was in the potter's hearts. We are not made on an assembly line. We are each conceived in the Father's heart. Everything, when he's making you, it's what he has in his heart to make you into. And sometimes it's not easy getting washed off and cleaned out and then pressed into a mold, and then things spin out of control. But then we get back together, and then we realize that there's another marble in my Play-Doh. And I have to get that out because I can't make a good pancake with that in there. And now I can take this and I can begin to work it in my hands and then get it back to where it needs to be. And you're going, this is getting old. But that's kind of what our Christian life is when the Lord's working in us. And we're going, Lord, why do you keep doing this to me? And he's saying, I'm getting the impurities out of your heart, out of your life. And I can't make you what I want to make you as long as that's in there. So I've got to get it out. And so finally we get to a point, and this point won't come till eternity because of our flesh, but we'll get to a point where that is all out. And then he can make us into a perfectly ugly pancake. There's a song, and some of you may know the song, when I was growing up that I loved to hear. The Cathedrals used to sing it, but it was written by Joe Hemphill from the Hemphills. And the words go like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, is the way I heard it. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. How many of you know that song? I love that song as a kid. I thought it was a neat song. I didn't really think about the words. I just liked the tune. But he is still working on me. And the verse what number one says this: there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge him yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be better, or perfect is the way I heard it, just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. And so we would sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the earth and the sun, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And I love that verse where it says, there really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Listen, when you see me and you go, man, you messed up. Because I do, and I'm going to, and I'm going to keep doing that because I'm human, and because I live in this flesh, and I'm a mess, and I get messed up, and God has to take me and mold me and make me. I just wish you could put a sign on me that said, he's still working on me. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. The second verse of that song says this: in the mirror of his word, reflections that I see, makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. That is what our Christian life is. And when you look in the mirror of his word, sometimes you look at it and you go, why does he keep trying with me? I'm a mess. I'm this lump of clay with marbles through it, and I don't know why he would even continue to work on me. But, and I wonder why he never gave up on me, but I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. God's working on you. And I don't care if you're young, like 38, or if you're older, like 40. God's still working on you. Miss Lois, God's still working on you to make you what you ought to be. You feel like he's pressing you, and yeah. When you're going through those things, just be encouraged that it's him making you better. He loves you. He's not doing it to punish you, and I've made this statement over and over, but God doesn't punish his children. God corrects his children. But Jesus took the punishment for our sin on the cross, so that would be us taking, that'd be double payment for the same sin. We don't need that. God doesn't punish his children, but he corrects them, and he molds them, and he makes them. And so when you feel like you're going through it, Lois, and you feel like you're going through trials, you feel like you're being worked over. Maybe there's an impurity he needed to get out. But what I love verse number, I love it so much I don't remember which one it is. Verse number 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. He didn't take new clay, but he took that clay and he made it into another vessel. God's working in you. If you're his child, if you're a believer here tonight, God is working in you to make you into something beautiful like a bouquet of roses. And he loves you. Understand that. Don't lose faith when you're going through a problem. And I know that tends to be what we want to do, where our mind starts heading that way, that, well, I must be a failure, I must be worthless. No, if you were worthless, God would have taken that clay and thrown it away, but he didn't. He's continuing to work on you. Let's stand and we'll sing a hymn of invitation. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never put your faith in him to save you from the penalty of your sin. If you've never experienced that, listen, you will have to pay the payment for your sins, which is an eternity in a place called hell. I just spoke with the teens, and I'm going through a book with them called Counterculture. It's a great book. I'd encourage you to read it. But in that book, he talks about we need to be compassionate and courageous. There's a lot of people that have courage enough to speak out, but they don't have compassion. And a lot of people that have compassion, but not the courage to speak out the truth. As believers, we need to have compassion and courage in our culture that we live in. And so part of that is, I don't like getting up here and saying, if you die today without Christ, you're going to go to hell. It's not an easy thing to say, but I'm telling you that because it's what we need to hear. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I invite you to come. We will show you from God's word how you can trust Christ, how you can be saved. If you're here tonight and you just, the Lord's been working on you, and you're saying, I don't know why the Lord's working on me. I don't know what's going on, but I know that he is still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And that's all of us here tonight. If you need prayer for any reason, you need to talk, if you need to just come down front, or if you're just in your pew, you need to pray and say, Lord, thank you for working on me. Thank you for continuing to make me what you want me to be. Thank you for that plan that's in your heart. And Lord, keep doing that. Keep getting those marbles out of my life. Keep getting those impurities out and continue to make me into what you want me to be. I encourage you, if you need prayer, you need to talk, you need something, if you're here tonight and you've not been saved and you need to be saved, please come as we sing this hymn of invitation. What number, Brother Brian? 445. Hymn number 445.
Have thine own way.
thank you for your attention tonight. That was, by the way, like an 18-minute sermon. I want credit for that. Brian just said amen. I appreciate that. Carrie's come. She's asked for Debbie and Bob, right? And her parents. She's getting baptized Sunday, and she would love for them to come. And so just pray that the Lord will work in their hearts. She's trying to get them to come, and we may go try to make a visit, try to help encourage them to come. Let's just pray that. We're looking forward to Sunday. She's being baptized. Roxanne, Lorna, and Marianne, right? All of you guys. And I think there's, oh, and Bree. Yep, Bree. So we're having five baptized Sundays, so it's going to be great. I hope I remember to fill the... oh, yeah, there we go. We'll try to get her husband, Roxanne's husband, to come. That'd be great. Hopefully I remember to fill the baptistry and to turn the heater on for you. So that'd be good. If I don't, oh well. All right, let's be dismissed. Do you have any announcements? Yeah, you have an activity this weekend, right?
Yes, we do. Saturday, bulletin. If you see the bulletin, it's saying that the November 19th is Friday, but it's actually Saturday. So our activity is Saturday. Don't come Friday. We will meet. If you're in our college and career class, you know where to go. And we'll be playing whirly ball and just pray we don't get hurt because it's a contact sport. So anything we do, we usually do something that gets hurt. So but pray for that. Just please come if you're interested in the college and career class for that. And then also don't forget that, we will have the baptismal service Sunday, as Pastor Stephen mentioned. And then we got a bunch of stuff coming up. Don't forget, next week, instead of Wednesday night, we'll have our Tuesday night Pie and Pray service. So don't come on Wednesday. We'll be having a Tuesday, November 22nd, Pie and Praise at 7 p.m. But see the sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Bring your favorite pie to share for that. And then all kinds of stuff going on. Don't forget Wednesday, December 14th, the Ball Brothers are coming. That is a Wednesday also, so don't forget that. And invite people for that. Love offering will be received there. And then we'll be preparing for our Shepherds and Kings dramatical musical for dramatic musical for Christmas. So if you can pray for that, and we'll be working on that as we go for that. So, all right, everybody have a great week. And let's see here. Brother Adrian, I'm going to call on you again. We close in prayer? All right.